Hi, I'm Rosie Perez, sitting in for Leonard Lopate on WNYC and WNYC.org. We have a very, very, very special guest today, Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, the godfather of black cinema. I am so happy to meet you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Happy to be here. What the heck?
Oh, thank you. You are not only an icon and a Renaissance man, but you are an inspiration to all. I'm flabbergasted that I'm sitting here in front of you. I remember when I was a little girl and I saw your 1971 independent film, Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, with my mouth on the floor. And I enjoyed every single moment of it. Your new film is Confessions of an Ex-Doofus Itchy-Footed Mother. I wanted to add to that, shut your mouth. can you talk about the title of the film? I mean, why did you, what is an ex-doofus?
Well, you know what a doofus is, right?
Yes, I do.
So what would an ex-doofus be? Somebody who ain't stupid no more, who's got it together.
Is this film semi-autobiographical?
No, not at all. No more than Sweetback. I mean, I can't ever admit to my films being autobiographical. I get to go back to jail, you know.
Wow, wow. And what kind of lessons and experiences does the main character go through that help him graduate from being a doofus to an ex-doofus?
It's called life. I mean, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, my dad would be driving along. He said, now, you won't understand this now, son, but later you will. And later I did. And it's the trajectory of somebody's life as they grow up. It's no different than, say, Gulliver's Travels or Don Quixote or anything else, except this happens to be a character who comes from the hood and leaves home and really travels around the world. That's where the title comes from, Itchy-Footed. It means someone who wants to see the world. And it's a story as seen through the eyes of a homeboy and seeing the world. That's what it's all about.
Right. What made you decide that you would play that boy all the way up to 47 years old? You at 77. And I have to say, Mr. Van Peebles, you look amazing.
Well, thank you.
Why did you decide to play the lead?
Well, for example, you know, the story is sort of told by the guy. And when you're a kid or another person, someone's my uncle, my dad, or my mama starts telling me about something they did as a kid, actually, you don't really see the kid. You see that person just sort of the same, practically, with wearing kids' clothes and so forth. And I thought it was a great conceit, and that's just why I did it.
And I also found the film very touching and charming. Who is the actress that plays Rita, the love interest?
Yes, Stephanie Mills.
Stephanie Mills from The
Stephanie,
Wiz.
No, a different Stephanie. She's a terrific actress, and she looks like people, feels like people. And it was everybody. They were just a lot of fun.
Did you feel weird at a man, without being disrespectful, at your age, having a love scene with a young woman and also having the scenes, which I thought were hilarious in the movie theater when it was your coming of age of trying to unhook a girl's bra for the first time.
Yeah, well, we've all been there. I wonder, not all of us. It's a skill. You really got to get it, you know what I mean? You got to pinch the side and pull it together and then let go all at the right time, you know.
But did you feel any qualms about that, about having scenes with younger girls?
You obviously didn't see me last night.
Oh my God, Melvin Van Peebles is making Rosie Perez blush, folks. Oh my goodness, all right. I'm going to leave that one alone, but let's talk about the style of the film. I mean, just going back to Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, that style was very new and innovative, and I found the style in this film to kind of carry over in the same way, but also you use modern technology, which I found fascinating.
It's very interesting. I like that style. I like it sort of Mario calls it. That sort of herky jerky, et cetera, et cetera. I like it. That's just the way I think. And there are so many new and different pieces of technology that can be used now, and I use them. But it's fun sometimes to let the ragged edges show, so that the people can feel and see, understand. I like it like that.
Mm. And you know what? Also, I love is I love the music in your films. I love the music in this film. Did you compose all of the music for the soundtrack?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I did the music again. Yeah, see, I make film or music or write like I cook. I put in what I like in case nobody else likes it, and I have to eat it for the rest of the day or the rest of the week or the rest of the month. I'm happy.
Wow, and in Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. Is it true that the Earth, Wind, and Fire contributed to that soundtrack, or was it just solely you?
Well, no. It's true in the way that they played the music that I wrote. My secretary was kicking the boots with one of the one of the people, and she said, "Try this group out," and so forth. It was their first album. It was the first album they ever had. I had written the music. I knew what I wanted, and they had what I liked in that they knew nothing about cinema per se or cinema music, so that they did what I said. And before that, music was not used as a selling tool to films. Even when Hollywood brought a Broadway musical, the album was sort of an afterthought. They sort of bring it out and so forth. Since I had no money, I used the music as my selling tool. For example, 15 seconds on radio cost a lot. But you can get 2 minutes and 30 seconds of your album being played or one of the tunes, and you actually even get money back. Wow, that was a no-brainer. So that became, for example, the business of that is I got thrown off one record company for the movie, and then I went to Stax, and I brought this idea of using the soundtrack as your advance man, and the rest is history because it worked very well. But I was a completely unknown music-wise, or pretty much so. And Earth, Wind, and Fire, completely unknown. But it went so big until there was another movie, a company that had a record company, was going to bring out. And they asked Stax to do it. And that movie was called Shaft.
Mm.
And so Al Bell and Stax then made the music for Shaft, and the rest is history. Now every film has music as part of the selling tool in it.
Wow. I am Rosie Perez, sitting in for Leonard Lopate. I am sitting here with the iconic film director, writer, actor, musician, Melvin Van Peebles. I was speaking to a friend of mine, the wonderful George C. Wolfe, director and writer as well. And he said that one of the most fascinating quotes that he ever heard was one of yours. And I don't know if I'm getting this right, so please forgive me if I'm paraphrasing. He said that you said, "People ask me why I made it to the top. And I tell them because there was no room at the bottom."
Well, nobody let me in at the bottom. There was room probably, but, you know, nobody would let me in. So that's how I got. That's exactly the truth. When I did my first feature, I was driving cable cars in San Francisco, and I just got tired of seeing what I saw. So I thought I'd make this feature film, and at that time, 1957, I could make a feature, by my calculations, for $500.
Wow.
Well, $500 turned out to be 90 minutes of 16-millimeter film. The car. I forgot about little things like developing the film, the soundtrack, but anyway, my first feature ended up being 13 minutes long, et cetera, et cetera. But a bumblebee is aerodynamically unsound. a bumblebee can't fly, but he doesn't know it. So he flies anyhow. There you go.
And you sting like a bumblebee. I love it.
You know, Muhammad Ali said something, your altitude is more a function of your attitude than your aptitude. So, hey, what the heck? That's the attitude. My attitude, I get up in the morning, I read the obituary columns. If I'm not there, get my ass in gear.
Wow. You know what? You come across, of course, extremely confident, but also so unassuming. Are you a person that money is important to?
Only as a tool. Look, I used to live on the park bench in front of the Women's House of Detention. And the first night there, you know, I'm sitting there reading all the news that's fit to print, and I hear this screaming. What is this? And I run around the corner, and people were lined up to yell up to their loved ones. There was one lamplight. And, okay, and so I wrote it down, and that became a song. What the heck?
I want to go back to the film, Confessions of an Ex-Doofus Itchy-Footed Mother. I want to talk about your relationship with Rita. I really was moved by that element of the story. Is Rita is she the one that helps the lead character come full circle?
Yes and no. I mean, her love, her warmth, her mistakes also. What happens is some people finally get it together and some don't. And suddenly he realizes that he'd had love once, but he was too blind to see. And the rest of the movie is him struggling to get back. And then when he gets back, he's in deep doo-doo because Mama-san had moved on. And then he goes again, then he comes back again. And that's called Life 101.
Right. You know, in the film, the lead character says at one point, sometimes I feel guilty about feeling so cozy, guilty about not getting a move on like I promised myself.
Well, that happens quite often. You see, when he was there and he was happy, the machoism sometimes in the male psyche says, well, you were going to do such and such. Don't get comfortable. Go ahead and do it anyhow. And that's what happened to the character. For example, I wrote as I was doing the story, I decided to make it a graphic novel. So I just brought the graphic novel out too, you see. And so it became even clearer to me what I was saying. I don't ever bother myself with what I'm saying until afterwards, because sometimes then I would poison it with hidden thoughts that I don't even know I have. So then after it's all done, then I look at it. And then as I was reading the book, it was all done. Then as I was sitting to the movie, a very funny thing happened. I'm the chief editor, and I was editing the movie, and there's a chorus that you hear from time to time of people go, mm-hmm. And so my assistant said, boss, what is this, mm-hmm? So the first time I showed the movie, the next day the guy calls, I got it. I was sitting next to this old elderly lady, and sudden such happened. She said, right along. I said, there you go, my bro. That's what it be.
Yeah, you just capture in all of your films and all of your projects just the truth of people, the real essence of individuals, and I really love that. You know, if you have any calls for us, please call us at 212-433-9692. That is 212-433-9692. I am Rosie Perez, sitting in for Leonard Lope, and I am sitting here with the iconic film director, Melvin Van Peebles. We do have a caller from Ashley from Manhattan. Hello, Ashley.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, Ashley Amell. Hi, how are you?
Great, really good, yeah. Yeah, how you doing at Melvin?
I'm hanging in, bro.
Yeah, I saw your film yesterday, and I had to go see it because they said it was closing pretty soon, so I didn't want to miss it. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, just like Sweetback. I was wondering about the African aspect. You know, there was this song called Stranded in the Jungle years ago, probably your era, and I was wondering if that had any influence in terms of the writing of the film. If you remember the tune, Stranded in the Jungle.
No, I don't remember the tune, but I've been stranded in a lot of places, including the jungle.
Now, was those scenes shot in Africa? Because I saw the credits that you had Zanzibar.
I was in Zanzibar. I was in Kenya. I shot all over the world. I shot in the Caribbean. I shot in Europe, in California, all over.
Yeah, no more doofus, ex-doofus now.
Well, I don't know. I just finished a run on an off-Broadway show where guys call Unmitigated Truth, and the guy, he's doofus too. I like doofus people. In fact, 90% of people I know, including myself, is doofus. Duh.
But, thank you so much,
yeah,
Ashley, for your call.
Enjoyed the film, though.
Thank you.
And I as well. I thoroughly enjoyed this film, and I encourage everyone to go out and see it. The film is called Confessions of an Ex-Doofus Itchy-Footed Mother by the iconic film director, writer, actor, musician, everything man, Mr. Melvin Van Peebles. Mr. Van Peebles, it's been a pleasure. I wish we had more time because I can talk to you all day. And before you leave, how do you stay in such wonderful shape?
It ain't easy. I get up in the morning, I have a secret. I run before I wake up. I do my 4 miles before I wake up, and then I do, by that time, my coffee seeps in, and then I do my sit-ups and so forth. Yeah, it ain't. Life don't give no green stamps, girl.
You know what I'm saying? Thank you very much, Mr. Van Peebles.
Okay.